Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you a message called Let's Get Our Holy On, based off of 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. So let us dive into the Word today. First, from 2 Kings. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the river." But again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request, but if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. And now for Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white, far whiter than any earthly bleach that could make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Rabbi, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He said this because he didn't really know what else to say, for they were all terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they only saw Jesus with them. As they went back down the mountain, he told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Amen. Being holy does not mean we are holier than thou. Rather, being holy means embracing God's divine plan for our lives. It took me a long time to become the Christian leader I am today. When I was a teenager, I only saw holy as, quote, being perfect, end quote, because that is what the church seemed to model to me. Everyone in the church acted like they did no wrong, and, God forbid, you one day showed up with earrings and tattoos. The shock. You just can't erase that unholiness from you. And because of that, I thought that holiness was far from me. And truthfully, if being holy meant being down the nose snob, if that's what it meant, being a down the nose snob, I could think of better things to be, like, I don't know, human, down to earth and accessible. So for the longest time, I avoided being all that God called me to be simply because I could not see the reality of holiness within myself. And my guess is many have the same understanding of holiness and or sainthood. Few ever reach it. I never will. But friends, that couldn't be further from the truth. The idea that we will never reach holiness is counter to what the gospel teaches us. So what is keeping you from being all that God has created you to be? What is the thing holding you back? Perhaps it is complacency. Perhaps things have been comfortable for far too long and you are doing all you can to hold on to that comfort. Perhaps it is fear. Fear of what others might think of rejection or consequence. It could be any number of things that keep you from being all that God called you to be. For the disciples on the top of the mountain with Jesus, there were a number of things holding them back. They all had their anticipation of who Jesus was and what that meant for them and their people, Israel. Perhaps they were afraid of leaving the mountaintop itself. How many of you have been there? You, up on top. You have the world beneath your feet. Everything feels alive and wonderful. And there's seemingly nothing that can bring you down. But in the end, you know that you can't stay up on that mountaintop forever. This is how Peter certainly felt, and he was ready to pitch an entire camp for Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. He was ready to camp out there at the top. Of course, the passage in Mark today is that of Jesus' transfiguration. Prior to this, Jesus' disciples had only seen his human side. They only knew Jesus as a man, a great teacher, a miracle worker with God on his side, no doubt. They saw him as the Messiah, but a man all the same. Jesus' transfiguration was the revelation of the divinity within the man. And that divinity wasn't revealed so that it could become a great secret hoarded by a few on a mountaintop. No, that divinity was revealed so that others could know the heart of the gospel, Emmanuel, God with us. Peter, James, and John were ready to go to war for Jesus, but they had yet to grasp the fullness of God's plan. That war did not mean amassing weapons and soldiers against an imperial Roman army, but rather to take up the mantle of Christ, carrying on his works and spreading the gospel of God's glory, God's presence with us, to all the world. In this way, we are to model ourselves off of Elisha, as opposed to the disciples, who no matter how many opportunities he had to let his master go on without him, chose to stay with Elijah the whole way. But why? He wanted to take up the mantle. He wanted to be God's prophet. Could you imagine if each and every one of us here had that passion? Had that desire to serve God? As Elijah said, that was not for him to choose, but that was God's decision to choose whether Elisha would take over, take the mantle on or not. But let me ask you this. Will God reject the truly humble servant's heart? Of course not. And so, as it were, Elisha becomes the next Elijah. Elisha embraced his holiness, his being set apart for God's work. Notice that Elisha could have, like the disciples, got caught up in the holy moment he was in when Elijah was taken up to heaven. But he did not. He was not distracted. He was not deterred. Rather than soaking up the holy moment, Elijah got his holy on. Remember, holy simply means set apart for God's purpose. Hagios, holy, saint. It means set apart for God's purpose. Oh, somebody who's holy is set apart. Somebody who is a saint is God's special people. So a saint is a part of God's special people. Someone who is holy is somebody who's set apart for God's purpose. Simple as that, nothing more, nothing less. Thus, Elisha got busy in God's purpose for him as a prophet. He got his holy on. Friends, we need to get our holy on too. We have been given God's hope, healing, and wholeness. We have been given the great light in order that we may open the eyes of others and give that light to others. What can you do to embrace your holiness, your set apartness for God? First, you can make God the center of your every day. You can pray regularly, read scripture, attend worship, join small groups, and get involved in serving others alongside your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can also weigh God into every decision you make. How would God have you spend that money? How would God have you treat that person? How would God have you love your neighbor as yourself? How as the church do we help people get their holy on? We provide plenty of small group opportunities, regular Christian worship, Christian education, missional opportunities. With that said, God is calling us to grow in our holiness and grow in our mission to spread the gospel of King Jesus. Amen? So let's get our holy on. Not just by offering programs, but by actually modeling what holiness looks like. Not holier than thou snobbery, but being active in spreading God's gospel so that the glory of God one day fills the earth. Amen? Let's get our holy on. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this message. It's hopeful, it's inspiring. And it shows your faithfulness to us, Lord. But we are called to be faithful to you, and help us in our faithfulness. Help us to put on holiness, not in a faux sense where we think we're better than others, but in a real sense where we carry out your purpose because we are set apart for you. Lord, help us and inspire us and guide us along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that said, friends, I want to thank you again for tuning in. It is always great to have you here, especially on this Super Bowl Sunday. So I hope all of you who are football fans are going to enjoy the great game. It's a great American holiday, in my opinion. So enjoy the Super Bowl. But with that said, I want to invite you to check out the episode notes, and in there you'll see links to the giving pages. If you're able to give and to support the mission and ministry of First United Methodist Church of Newton, which is the church that I serve at, that would be great. If not, then serve at least. I hope you are at least attending a faith community somewhere and you are sharing with them. But if you are able to to give to both of us, that would be awesome as well. With that said, remember, friends, that God has richly blessed you so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.